You'll be making your way to Matthew, the 7th chapter. So good to be with you here this evening. I'm going to talk for a few minutes about this text, a very popular text, a very well-known text, even with people who are not very religious, which is one of the reasons I want to talk about it tonight. If you're visiting with us, and we're so glad that you have come our way, please feel free to ask any questions that you may have about our service and what we are trying to do here. And if you have any concerns, we'd love to hear those as well. We're doing our best and what we think the scriptures tell us to do in terms of how to worship God and how to honor him. And that is our goal, and that is our motivation here. And if you want to be a part of that, we'd love to have you join us in that endeavor. Let's begin reading in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Jesus says this in the middle of this sermon: "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." That first line, "judge not lest you be judged," is a line that you hear frequently if you pay any attention at all to things that are going on in the world around us. Without fail, anytime someone wants to point out a sin or some kind of indiscretion in the life of another person, especially public figures who we tend to see a lot about, even if they don't know any other verse in the entire Bible, they know this one verse from Matthew 7 and verse 1, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." And of course, it's pretty hard to argue with the words of Jesus. And so usually that just kind of shuts things down and nobody wants to then come back and approach that subject again. But is that really the idea that Jesus has in mind here in Matthew 7 and verse 1 when he talks about not judging people? Is this a text that we can just remove from its context and just take this one line and then apply it to everything and anything? If you will go do a little bit of searching on the internet, you can search images or pictures and just see what people have to say about this verse. What you're going to find are all these cute little sayings like, "Do not judge unless you can walk on water." Or, "I'm only showing you what I want you to see, so don't judge me." And of course, there is somewhat truth in some of those sayings. And depending on how we define this idea of judgment, the word can be used in various ways. There are bits of truth, even in these erroneous ideas, that no one can be the judge. Yes, God is the final judge. And in fact, James deals with that. He says, who are we to be the judge? There is one lawgiver and there is one judge. And so when it comes to ultimate judgment, that is God's job. That is not my job. But I would suggest to you this evening that we are naive if we think this text means that we cannot judge at all. And in fact, Scripture in general in various places tells us that we do need to make good judgments. And we could go all over the place to look at this in implication or in direct wording. For instance, in John 7 and verse 24, it says to judge with righteous judgment. And so to just isolate this one phrase from a text as if that just covers everything is to miss the body of material throughout the entire New Testament and throughout the stories of the Old Testament, in which good judgment is extremely important for one who is trying to be holy, someone who is trying to be a child of God. What I want us to do first is to look at the context of this statement, to see what Jesus is doing in this sermon, and try to have some kind of understanding of where he's coming from. He doesn't just pop up out of nowhere, stand up on a boat and say, "Judge not lest you be judged." There's some other things going on in this text that we need to be a little bit aware of as we get to this text in Matthew chapter 7. He has some various things to say to these people in this Sermon on the Mount. The first of them is about what it means to be a kingdom citizen. And so he's going to talk some about character, about what's going to be required to be in Jesus' kingdom. And part of that is the need to be righteous, to be more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees. And in fact, he gives his own interpretation of the law. They had the interpretations of the scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus says, we need to go a little bit beyond that. We need to understand them in a little deeper way, get to the really to the heart of what these laws and regulations are about. Because what God really wants is the heart. He doesn't want to just keeping some stale rules and regulations, which tended to be more of what the scribes and Pharisees did with them. And so that is that section where it talks about, you've heard you should not commit adultery, but I say if you look at a woman to lust with her in your heart, then you've already committed adultery. He's showing some contrast here. He's showing there's something deeper going on here in the text, something that gets to the heart of the person, not just that one action. And so while it is a violation of law to actually kill somebody, to murder, it is also getting at the heart of that law to call somebody a fool and to look negatively on somebody. And so Jesus is trying to dig deep. He's trying to reach to the depths of these Old Testament quotes and laws and regulations as it will interpret what it means to be a true kingdom citizen. And so he's going to raise the bar in holiness. He wants people to understand what it really means to follow God and to follow Jesus, in fact. And part of that is denying what the Pharisees were so good at, which was just showy religion, saying these prayers on the street corners and sounding the trumpet before they gave, and wanting everyone just to see how religious they were. So Jesus condemns showy religion. He says, that's not what I'm about. There are some things that we need to do, and holiness is really important, but it's not just about being noticed by people. And again, this gets to the heart of what it means to be devout. Holiness is not defined just by what people see in me, but it is about who I really am, even when people don't see what I'm doing. It goes beyond the outward to the inner man. And then he criticizes over-concern for worldly cares. Now, there are some other things in these texts, too. For instance, you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. So he talks about influence. And there's some other things we could talk about. But this is just a basic overview of what's happening in chapter 5 and chapter 6, where Jesus is speaking to the people. And when he comes to chapter 7, and now I believe what he's doing is trying to bring this down to a personal level. And he says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. Here's what I believe is happening here in this text. And I believe this because Jesus is talking to people. And this is the sort of thing that we do as people. As he is running through these lists of items, whether it's about character or influence or an understanding of the law and how we behave as God's people, it's really easy to say, well, I really wish this person would hear what Jesus has to say here. I wish those scribes and Pharisees, I wish they could just understand what Jesus has to say here about showy religion. If they could just understand that, man, they would be so much better. And I believe what happens so often, whether it's these people that Jesus is speaking to or even us today, is we're very good at applying what we see in Scripture to other people. Maybe sometimes I'm not so good at applying it to myself. And so as Jesus has run through these items and given them things to think about and ways really to do some introspection in their own life, now he's going to bring this together and bring it to a personal level and say, you don't judge, be careful. You think that you're the one who's right and you're looking to other people. You be careful how you judge, for in the way that you judge, you will be judged. James says it this way in James 2. Judgment is merciless to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment, James 2 and verse 13. Again, it's so easy to see my sins and to minimalize them, to see them as small, and yet at the same time look at somebody else and see this as being such a big problem in their life. I mean, I've really got to go talk to them. They've got to correct this issue. And this is the heart of what Jesus wants to get at in this text. That what we need to understand, what I need to understand as a follower of Jesus, is that my first responsibility, my main goal, is to be looking at my life and making sure I am following the Word of God. And with that thought in mind, I want to talk about some things from this text. First of all, I want us to see what Jesus does not say in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. These are things that Jesus does not say. He does not say that it is wrong to see a speck in another's eye. He doesn't say that it's wrong to realize that somebody else is doing something wrong or sinning. In fact, that's just reality. If we live at all, and if we are out around people at all, sometimes we're going to see things that happen that are not right. And we're going to come back to this idea in just a minute, but let me just say it this way. It doesn't matter how sinful I might be or how many things I do wrong. If I'm in the world and seeing things in the world, I'm still going to see sin and I'm going to notice sin. And there's going to be a level of judgment that is attached to that reality. There's going to be a sense in which I'm going to look and see the things around me in the world, whether it is people who are God's people or say they're God's people, or people who are not God's people and do not say they're God's people. If I look, I'm going to see things that are wrong. And then this is not saying that we can't do that. Jesus does not say in Matthew 7 in verse 1 and following that we cannot see specks, that we cannot see sins, that we shouldn't see them at all. That's not at all what Jesus says. And in fact, along with that, he doesn't say we can't help somebody out. He never says that we can't help someone that does have the speck in their eye. In fact, just the opposite. Once we have gone about it the right way, once we have done some good introspection and we've looked at our own life and we realize, okay, I've got things on track, then at that point, maybe we then can go help somebody. But again, the point is, I better be looking at my own life. And so for that peasant that's following Jesus around, that lowly person in society who loves the sayings of Jesus, who is standing there at his feet with every word that Jesus says, just waiting to hear it. And now he's thinking, those scribes and Pharisees, they're so wicked and evil, he's missing the point. He's not understanding at all what Jesus wants him to do. And the scribe and the Pharisee, the one who is held up as the spiritual leader, the one who is elevated in society, the one who knows the law, as he's listening to the words of Jesus, and he believes, well, I do that, and look at these poor peasant people, they just don't understand. He's missing it altogether as well. Because the focus is on somebody else. And the judgment is not accurate. The judgment is not correct. That being the case, it doesn't mean that we can't help somebody at some point. Jesus also does not say in this text that it is my job to be the heretic detector and the sin detector, to be the one who's out there making sure everyone else is doing everything right. Jesus doesn't say that. So there are a variety of things in this text that Jesus just simply does not say. Sometimes we will notice those things. I mean, if we notice them and when we notice them, we have a responsibility. And we could go to other texts within the New Testament that clearly show this is the case, that when we realize that someone has done something wrong, we do have a responsibility as God's people, as people who are trying to be holy, to try to go to that person in humility and try to make that right. But the reality is, it's not my job in life to be going out and trying to make sure everyone else is following the words of Jesus. My job is to make sure I'm following the words of Jesus. That is my primary goal. And you as an individual, that is your primary goal, to make sure that you are walking in the steps of Jesus and that my eyes are focused within, they're focused on my heart. And then along the way, as we can influence and as we can have an impact on the people around us, as we should, we will naturally help those who are around us. We must never lose sight, though, that our first job is one of introspection. But here's one last thing that Jesus does not say. And this one's hard. Jesus does not say that judgments are automatically negated because the person making the judgment is a hypocrite. Jesus doesn't say that. I don't like that. It'd be nice if I could say, well, that person's a hypocrite, and so it just doesn't matter. What they have stated about my life, I don't have to listen to it because they are sinful and they are wrong in their life. But Jesus doesn't say that. The imperative is given to the individual who is supposed to be looking within. My job is to make sure I'm judging with righteous judgment. And my job is to make sure that I'm getting that log out of my own eye before I help the person with the speck in their eye. However, if I find myself on the other side of that, as one who is humble, I better be willing to receive whatever criticisms I get. If the biggest sinner and hypocrite in the world comes to me and points out something in my life that is wrong, it changes nothing. The truth is the truth. And whatever that person is, and whatever they do in their life, has no bearing whatsoever in terms of my relationship with God. And if they have found something in my life that is wrong, that is amiss in my relationship with God, it doesn't matter if they're insincere. It doesn't matter if they have bad motives. It doesn't matter if they're trying to hurt me. I better receive that and consider it. That's what's going to be involved in serious introspection. And I think that we can clear up some really bad interpretations of Matthew 7 simply by looking at what Jesus does not say in this text. And so when the one who is in an illicit sexual relationship says, "Judge not, lest you be judged," let us all be very clear that has nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. When someone has chosen to live in the world and to do things that are clearly sinful, and then they want to say, "Judge not, lest you be judged," they clearly don't understand the message of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. And there are a variety of texts, one of them being John chapter 12, where Jesus talks about the reality that he did not come to judge the world, but there is one that does judge the world, and that is the words that he says, because he is speaking by the Father's authority. He says, "I didn't come to judge you, I came to save the world, that was my mission. But the reality is, if you reject what I say, you don't do what I tell you to do, there is one that judges you, and that is the Word of God." And it is not an accurate judgment to look to God's word and then to look to some action and say that's wrong. When the Bible says this is sinful and someone is doing what is said to be sinful, you can't fall on Matthew 7 and verse 1 as your defense. And let me just say this by observation. Almost every time, this is totally anecdotal, I'm not giving you any kind of scientific evidence here for anything, but I will say by observation, anytime someone has to try to defend themselves with Matthew 7 and verse 1, they are basically always wrong. If you have to use Matthew 7 and verse 1, I would highly suggest some deeper introspection. If you are following to that chapter and that verse to try to defend your actions, I would say that's very, very dangerous. And maybe you don't like what the person has to say. Maybe you don't like the person. But that does not mean what they're saying is not true. So what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1? We've talked about some things that he does not say, but what does he actually say in this section, in this sermon? There's going to be a level of interpretation here, but I think it is an accurate level of interpretation. And then I'm saying he doesn't actually say the words, "Be a careful judge," but I think that is the indication he is giving by what he is saying based on the context. And as I said, I think that you are naive if you think that we don't have to do any kind of judging in life. All you have to do is go to some other words that Jesus says in which he tells us we do have to judge. In fact, even right within this context, at the very end of this statement, verse 6, "Do not give what is holy to dogs." Well, how do we know what dogs are? We have to make a judgment. "Don't cast your pearls before swine." Well, how do we know who the swine are? We have to make some kind of judgment, and Jesus is calling us to do that. So there is some level of judgment that is necessary in life. In fact, we go to Scripture, and it talks about the kind of person that we should marry, or the kind of friends that we should make, or the kind of people we should spend time with. All of those things involve judgments. And so it is very naive to think that Matthew 7:1 tells us that we cannot make judgments. In fact, it is very unbiblical to interpret the text that way. So what does Jesus mean from this statement? I would say the context is showing us that what he means is that we need to be careful judges, that I need to be a careful judge in my life. In fact, following his wording in John 7:24, that I need to judge with righteous judgment, not just on appearance. Very dangerous to come in the presence of somebody and make an immediate judgment. In fact, one of the ways in which this term can be used is the idea of passing judgment or expressing some kind of opinion. Okay, our word is essentially the same way. We talk about judgment or judging. There are different ways in which we can use that term. We can talk about some kind of official judgment, right? We're in a court of law, and the judge makes a judgment, that there's an officialness to this. But also, I can walk into the room, and I can see somebody, and I can pass judgment on them without really knowing them, without really understanding who they are or anything about their life. It's being used in a different way, even though it's the same word. And the same thing happens with the Greek word here. And I think the idea of John 7:1 is this idea of passing judgment, of expressing some kind of opinion, as would have maybe been the case with the lower person in society, in the Jewish society, on maybe the scribes and Pharisees, or the other way around, assuming the worst. We know this was the case with the Pharisees, who just considered everyone else the rest. They were holy, they were righteous, and they looked out at everyone else. They wouldn't even go in their homes because they were unclean. I'm talking about Jews here, not just Gentiles. That's passing judgment on people. They don't know these people, but they're just assuming that that person is not righteous, that they're not holy. And so what I think Jesus is telling them here is that you need to be a careful judge. And there are a lot of things that go into this. Not judging rashly would be one of them. Not jumping to conclusions. Not being overly harsh in our judgments. Certainly not being ignorant. Not judging motives. And here's the reason why I'm saying all this. I believe these are the measures of how we judge. This is what he says here in the text. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. Now let me stop here and refer you again to James 2. Some versions say judgment will be without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. You're going to receive the same kind of judgment that you give to somebody else. By the measure that you use, or the standard of measure you use, it will be measured to you the same way that you judge somebody else. Don't be surprised if that same standard of judgment is used then on you. If you're a quick judge, if you're a harsh judge, if you judge ignorantly, don't be shocked when the same thing happens to you. And more than that, the judgment of God in the end, that's going to be without mercy if I'm not showing mercy. More importantly than how someone else might judge me and think of me is how God views me and how he sees me. If I'm the kind of person that is quickly jumping to conclusions, I'm the kind of person that is harsh, that is ignorant, that I make these judgments without really knowing the facts. If I'm trying to judge people's motives and hearts, even though I can't know them. God has a reward for those kinds of people. And it's not the kind of reward we want. They will be judged mercilessly, he says, because they have shown no mercy. Now, even within this text in Matthew chapter 7, I don't want us to misunderstand how this works, because he talks about the reality that you will judge people by their fruits, that you will know them by their fruits. And so you can see in the life of somebody, by the way they're living, a lot of things about them. And so directly following this text in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, you come to this text later on. In verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from the thorn bushes, nor figs from the thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. If you're seeing bad fruit, it's a bad tree. You notice how Jesus is saying there you can make some judgment calls? Again, just relays back to 7:1 and how it's misunderstood. Just a few verses later, he's talking about the reality that when we see bad fruit, we know it's coming from a bad tree. And good fruit from a good tree. And so over time, or as we see the evidence, or as we get to know the facts, or as we gradually become familiar with the situation, we may be able to make good judgments. But Jesus wants us to be careful. And he wants us to be focused within. Because the most important judgment I need to make is the one about my heart. Every day, judging whether or not I'm trying to do the right thing, judging every day whether I'm really following Jesus and the things that I'm doing, and looking at the words of Jesus, am I really doing what he's telling me to do? And if my heart is right and my motives are right for myself, chances are that's how it's going to be for others. Along those same lines, and a lot of this obviously is connected, within the text, what he tells us is that it is hypocrisy to be judging other people, but then not really judging myself. To be focused so much outwardly that I can see what everybody else is doing, and I notice all of their sins and all their blemishes, yet I don't see my own. I'm not taking time to look in the mirror and to observe my own life. That is true hypocrisy. And Jesus does say this in the text. You hypocrite, he says in verse 5, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What does Jesus tell us about judgment in Matthew 7? He tells us if we want to judge well, if we want to judge appropriately, if we want to judge accurately, we need clear vision. I wear contacts, and so a lot of times I'm taking them out in the middle at night, and I get up in the middle of the night for some reason, whether I hear a child or I've remember something else I need to do before I go to bed. And I can go out, and you probably have the same sort of experience. It's hard to make good judgments about things in your house when it's dark and when you can't see well. And so that's typically the time that I'm stepping on Legos or kicking the edge of a chair or something like that, because I can't make a good judgment because my eyes are not clear. I'm not seeing well. This is a really important point. I've seen so many times someone who is so adamant about their position, they're so aggressive about what they think, and yet they are so biased, they can't see where they're wrong. In fact, I had someone talk to me recently about this in a situation that they're having to deal with, that they've been biased so strongly about something that they cannot see anyone else's opinion about it. And if you don't agree with them, then you're just wrong. That's not being a good judge. It means you're quickly dismissing people. Sometimes you're harshly dealing with the ideas that they have. You're ignorant sometimes of the situation. You judge immediately that they're just not right because they don't understand you, when in reality, and we've all been there before, I'm not the one listening to them. Have you ever been there? That's never a fun situation when you realize, actually, I was wrong about that. And then you remember the way you acted toward that person and how strongly your opinion was stated against what they were saying, only to then find out later they were right. It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Any of us of any kind of age have been there before. It's poor judgment. And there's nothing worse than using that kind of poor judgment in a spiritual setting. Demanding that people think the way that I think, do things the way that I want to do them, and not listening to what anyone else has to say. And the point there is sometimes we just don't have clear vision. That average Jewish citizen who's struggling from day to day to eat and to put clothes on his back, as Jesus had just talked about in Matthew 6. He looks at that wealthy leader, ruler of the people, and just has bitterness in his heart for him. And so from the very outset, he's not going to like what he has to say. And as wrong as that person might be on various things, it might be that they're actually right about something they're saying, but the person just won't receive it because they don't like them, because they have money and they have wealth and they have power. It's poor judgment. The scholar, the expert, looks at the lowly citizen who has no degrees, who has no special kind of knowledge in any kind of area, and just immediately dismisses what they have to say. It's poor judgment. That's the sort of thing that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7 and verse 1. That we need clear vision when we judge. We need to judge with righteous judgment. We need to be careful about the way that we are working through concepts and ideas and situations. And not quickly jumping to conclusions. And not jumping to conclusions without all the facts. And trying to judge people's hearts. Because the danger is, if we are people who judge without mercy, we will be judged without mercy. I'm just going to be very candid with you for a minute. I think this is the biggest struggle for the group of people who show up on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I'm there with you. We are here all the time. And it's very easy sometimes to jump to conclusions about others. Sometimes, over time, we realize that those are accurate judgments. And I understand that. But I think there is some value in Matthew 7 and verse 1 for us. In terms of maybe how quickly sometimes we can assume things that might not be accurate. Or things that might not have come from having all the information or understanding the situation. Or maybe it's just that in some way we feel very good about our faith and about our standing before God. And so it's very easy maybe. And I'm not saying we intentionally do this or I intentionally do that. But it might be easy for us to look at someone else who's not in the Sunday night crowd or the Wednesday night crowd, who's not going to the monthly Bible studies and doing the various religious events that take place throughout the month and throughout the year, and think that they're not up to our standards. And I'll admit to you, that's a hard thing to think about. And that's a challenge for me. And I think for all of us in our life, to make sure that we are living, thinking about what I need to do. And as best I can, trying to influence the people around me, being that light to the world that Jesus talks about, the salt of the earth, influencing people in a positive way, which sometimes may require a very difficult thing, which is rebuking or admonishing someone. But we better make sure we've done it with thought and with care and with prayer. And with knowledge. It's interesting to me. One more text and we'll be done tonight. In Galatians chapter 6, as Paul is dealing with this type of a situation, even in the restoration of someone who has sinned, someone who has transgressed, just notice the wording that he uses here. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, he's admitting here there's sin, there's something wrong. There's no doubt about it. This is not something where you can say you shouldn't be judging me. Clearly, there's sin going on. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Even in that process, where we do know there's a problem, we haven't jumped to a conclusion. We're not making false assumptions. We are not biased. There truly is sin. There truly is some kind of an issue here that has to be dealt with. Even in this situation, Paul says, each one looking to yourself. And why is that? So that you too will not be tempted. Tempted by what? I think we can be tempted to exalt ourselves if we aren't careful. Maybe it's being tempted in the same kinds of sin, spending time with somebody who is in sin. I don't know. But it seems to me to fit pretty well with some of the things that Jesus says. And I better be looking within a lot more than I'm looking without. Maybe you realize tonight that you need to make some changes in your life. You're not a Christian. You haven't decided to follow Jesus, but you realize now is the time that you need to do that. You don't want to wait another minute. And if that's the situation you're in tonight, we want to help you. We're ready to baptize you into Christ. We want you to be one of his children. We want to lift you up. We want to encourage you to walk this life, to walk the narrow way. there's no better life. Not because it's going to offer us all kinds of blessings and wonderful things necessarily in this life, as Jeff talked about this morning. There might be some bad times ahead. There might be some difficulty, but it has the hope of the life to come. We want to be with God forever. And maybe it is that you are already a Christian. You already have given your life to Jesus. But you know you're failing in some kind of way, and you need encouragement. You need to be lifted up. You need to make it right with God. You can do that by coming forward tonight. You can do that by making it known to all of us. Or you can go home and pray in the privacy of your own home. But it needs to be taken care of. We need to make our lives right with God. Can we help you do that in some way tonight? Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together?